From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up.
Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate Seminole sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant,
presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.
One more Corner Pocket.
Now here's WarChant.com's Asan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What is up, everybody? It is Wake Up War Champ, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. Coming up on today's show, catching up on everything that's been happening in the world of FSU athletics and looking ahead to week two of spring football practice. Wake Up War Champ, presented by Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, Tallahassee, Florida, 2475 Appalachie Parkway, up top. Can't miss it. You shouldn't miss it. Tuesday, it's trivia night, y'all. But before that, why don't you head over for a daily lunch special, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., only $8.99. The daily lunch specials over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. They also come with a side dish for only $8.99. All of this. On Tuesdays, we have tacos, hard or soft shell, beef or chicken, but it's all day on Tuesdays, not just 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., all day, $8.99. Check out the daily lunch special over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. And again, trivia night is on Tuesday nights. WarChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source. Thumbs up, subscribe, 5-star ratings and reviews, YouTube subscriptions, website subscriptions. Come on, y'all. The pads are on in full force. From here on out, they're just going to be padded up, popping, hitting each other, getting ready. They're all in. They're all in, or whatever the fancy hashtag is that Battle's End is using. They're coming forward all, going forward all. So you want to be there on WordChant.com as it happens. Will we get a full synopsis rundown of Corey Clark on a boat later on in the show, Corey?
You absolutely will, Aslan. When I go on a cruise,
we all go on the cruise, huh?
Yeah, that's right. I want to relay the whole experience to you guys, and it was an experience, but it was fun. It was something I will do again. It was nice. My first time ever being on one, but I enjoyed it enough. It's self-contained enough. Don't have to worry about anything. Is just getting up and not falling over the balcony. Those are really only two worries that everything else is kind of done for you. Yeah, I liked it. It's kind of my speed.
You know, you get to do a lot of cool things because you work for WordChant.com, the ultimate Seminole sports source, and you are able to bring your lovely girlfriend along for the ride a lot of times. But this feels like the first legitimate vacation for you guys. No, I don't want to slander her home of Cleveland, Ohio. I know you guys did that after, like, kickoff one year or something. But not that you have to leave America to go somewhere. But, like, this wasn't work-related. It was exotic. It was tropical. So good on you, man. Good on you.
I would say that's probably true. We did go to Chicago last summer with Brady, but Stephanie kind of just started a new job, so she wasn't really there half the time. It was me and Brady on our own. So that didn't really count. But yeah, her and I specifically, not counting New Orleans, obviously, because we were there for a reason. Charleston, we went for Brady's baseball. So yeah, no, that's probably our first one. It was a Christmas gift for her. So yeah, it was a good time. We had a really good time. Had some friends there on the boat with us. Met some people. Dan Willis, a Knoll. I've met him at Corner Pocket before. He was on the boat. His wife assured me they didn't follow us there, which I completely believe. He was very startled to see me, but very nice, like he was at Corner Pocket. And then there was a guy, you know me and my names, but I think his name was Eric. He knows who he is. Big, tall, good-looking guy, was walking to the fitness center when I was walking out. Nice. He kind of stopped in his tracks and looked to his side and goes, "Corey Clark?" And I go, "Yeah, man." And so we talked for about 5 or 10 minutes. So, yeah, man, there's Knolls everywhere. And at the bocce dinner we had on the last night of the cruise, there were 4 people from Tallahassee at our little hibachi table.
Look at that.
They did not know who I was, which was fine. I didn't hold that against them. But, yeah, Tallahassee, man, it was representing on the independence of the seas.
Mm. All right, folks. So after a one-week-ish hiatus, maybe a little bit more than that, the football team will be back in action practicing this afternoon. So do be connected to warchant.com. Corey and I will also share our observations for tomorrow's program. We'll have interviews, footage from practice. But before then, in the morning, there will be a press conference to, I guess, further discuss and outline the 2024 opener that will be over in Dublin versus Georgia Tech. So we'll have reaction from, you know, the important people that will be there talking about that sort of stuff. So football always on the front of everybody's mind, Corey. Week two, as we enter it, anything in particular you want to look for? I liked everything from week one. I want to see a little bit extra out of Ventrell Cyprus. Feel like, again, they weren't in pads for all of only one day that we were out there. We saw them on Monday, Wednesday, and then Friday. They were finally in pads. One-on-one drills, some of the seven-on-seven stuff. I don't know how much of it's like a learning curve, trying to figure out, you know, some of the maybe the new techniques they're trying to teach you that you're trying to incorporate into your toolbox, but just didn't sense that being a huge piece, huge addition to the puzzle here. And he was, again, the number two overall prospect that was available in the entire portal. Would like to see some more sustained flash, a little sustained excellence in the practices from Ventrell Cyprus to get a good shot in the arm about how I feel about this defense on the whole. Any other, not particular players per se, Core, but any sort of themes, storylines, as the Jeff Cameron Show, I think, outlined something like that themselves on the show yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that. DBs as a general, in general, you know, this team, this is a team that had a good defense, you know, by any measure. I know we wrung our hands about it a lot, but on the whole, overall, it was a good defense. Certainly a drastic improvement over what we'd seen here recently. They only had 7 interceptions. That's essentially one every other game. And they had plenty of opportunities. And Greedy Vance had 3 of them. I want to see safeties making plays. I want to see relegate it to safeties. I want to see them all making plays. Don't just be okay with not allowing a completion. Go get the ball. Go attack the ball. I do want to see that. That's something I wrote about before I left for the cruise, actually. It's just wanting to see the DBs make plays. Be game changers. And then also, you know, I'll probably pay, now that they're in pads full time, I'll probably pay more attention to the defensive line and the line of scrimmage in general. But another, and again, not to, I guess I'll mention a name. I'm going to keep an eye on 21. I want to see Darian Williamson. I want to see what he ends. He has a chance. Dare I say the iron is hot, and Darian Williamson has a chance to strike it.
Okay.
Because he, you know, there's a spot there, or two, frankly, to be one. And he's a guy that they really like. He's a guy that's got a lot of tools. I want to see him over the next 3 weeks, not just this week, but the next 3 weeks, turn into a guy that you can play opposite Johnny Wilson. Because we don't know about Micah Pittman, man. We don't know if that guy's going to, when he's going to be available. You hope it's for the opener, but you just don't know. You assume Winston Wright probably takes over in the slot, or Winston and Ja'Kai split time, and maybe Winston goes outside some. But you need another outside guy. You lost Pokey. Darian Williamson, to me, is the guy there that he just, and Kentron's had a nice start to his career. Well, I guess we're 3 years into it, but, you know, he's shown some flashes, but I just think there's a little extra something special with Darian. If he can stay healthy, number one, and if he can just gain that confidence and show that consistency. So I do want to see that over the next 3 weeks, too. That would make me feel very good on the offensive side of the ball. I think you nailed it on the defensive side of the ball. Cyprus is somebody I want to see step up, but just the DBs as a whole I want to see step up.
What are we comparing that number two spot, not the slot corner can't, or slot receiver, like a Winston Wright or Ja'Kai couldn't be thought of as the number two receiver opposite Johnny, but like, are we using Pokey as kind of our litmus test, our barometer of what we want to see from that other receiver out wide? Or are we thinking we're hoping for a playoff caliber team? This is kind of what you need to be if you're the number two A receiver on a pretty prolific offense, because they've got options. They've got bodies for sure, but I don't know, other than Darion, it feels like he's like the only one that has the potential to possibly be elite this year. Like, I like Kentron. I don't know if he ever could really be elite for you. Hakeem needs probably a little bit more seasoning as a true freshman. Like, where are you in terms of how you're judging what the production needs to be? Not so much for spring, but what you're hoping for projecting down the future for the season, Corey.
Yeah, I think you phrased it correctly. I think the potential, I just think his potential is a little higher, Darian Williamson, than anybody else's. He's got a chance to maybe be special. You know, and I mean special as in, like, I don't know, man. It's this offense. They're going to run more than they throw. But 35 catches for 700 yards, one of those, 650.
Ooh, all right.
With, I mean, look, that's, you know, not.
I'm here for it, Corey. I'm here for it. I'm not criticizing.
But, I mean, a big-time threat on the other side of Johnny Wilson. Yeah. That Pokey Wilson, you know, he had an okay senior season. I mean, he wasn't bad by any means. I don't remember him making any drastic mistakes. But, you know, his production was okay. I think maybe if you look at the production of Pokey and Malik McClain and combine it, that's what I'd like to see from that other receiver. I just think Johnny is going to get so much attention, rightfully so. And he's still going to be a huge part of the offense and going to make a ton of plays. But that other guy is going to get so much one-on-one, man-to-man coverage. And if he can be a difference maker and a game changer, and again, I know it was basically one game, but what you saw Darian Williamson do in a quarter against Boston College was probably the second best, the second best display any Florida State receiver had all year, just for that one quarter. Now, there's the only quarter he played essentially all year, but that's what gets you excited. Okay, can you extrapolate that, or can you make that what he's going to do for the whole season? Again, he's not going to have 100 yards every quarter, but is that the guy you're going to get? The guy that turned a four-yard out into a 60-yard catch and run at his size? That's cool to see, man. That's something that is a little bit unique. But who knows? He might not even start. I don't know what their plans are. I just want to see more out of 21 specifically, because I feel like I know what Winston Wright's going to be. I feel like Kentron Portier, we kind of know what he is, which is a fine college football player. I don't know if there's another leap for him to make. I think there is another leap for Darian Williamson to make, just because he hasn't gotten a ton of time healthy into practice. And now, hopefully, he is and will, and he can make that leap.
It's always tough to judge when it's your own team going against each other, Cor, but obviously we want to see a little bit more maybe out of these defensive backs, as we kind of talked about beforehand. How difficult is it to judge them because Jordan is so far along, Jordan is so polished now, Jordan is so not only accurate but just mentally sharp and knows where the ball has to go, and there always seems to be something available and open, that it might be hard for those opportunities to present themselves? Or are we just hoping to see some kind of different level of aggression from these defensive backs, maybe taking more chances? Or is it going to have to be more in the one-on-one stuff that we're going to have to see the defensive backs shine? Because if they step up in 11-on-11, 7-on-7, then maybe some people are going to be like, well, what's going on with Jordan?
Yeah, I just think the one-on-one stuff, I think it's a really good sign, and I could be wrong here. I think we know this receiver corps is going to be pretty good, has a chance to be. Again, if 21 can take a step, it has a chance to be, very, very good, I think. But the DBs, I want to see them win those days. They haven't gotten embarrassed. I don't think any of the 3 days that they practice in the spring, you'd say the receivers dominated them.
No.
But I would say you could say the receivers won more than they lost. And which, it's kind of set up for the receivers.
Yes.
They know, it's one-on-one, and you get to use an entire field. That's really hard for a DB to do. I just would like to see the DBs have a day. Like you said, I want to see Cypress. He had a good first day, I thought, where he was the one I was like, who's 23 again? Who's the guy that's making all the plays? I don't think he was great the next 2 days. I just want to see, because the competition level is going to be really intense in that room, man, to get on the field. So I just want to see those guys, those DBs, not just being content with, signaling incomplete after a ball, ticks off the hand of the guy they're covering, but actually go and make a play. And I mean, not just break it up or barely break it up, but rip it away. The Travis J play.
Yes.
Like that's not great, again, because he's doing it against Winston Wright. He's doing it against another Florida State player. But I love seeing something like that, like ripping the ball away. Just that kind of mindset is kind of what I want to see. And it's not easy. It's not like, if the quarterbacks are out there throwing six picks in one-on-ones, you're going to be like, what in the world is going on? Oh, Lord. But at the same time, you just want the DBs to be in a position to make those plays and make a few more than they made in the first week. But I'm really, I'm picking at nits.
Yeah.
Like you said, I thought the first week went as well as you could hope. I thought there was really good competition all over the field. The DBs and the receivers did go back and forth. I just look at this defense, if it's going to take another step, if this is going to be a championship team, you've got to create more turnovers. You've just got to. And, that starts with the defensive line getting pressure on the quarterback, sure. But it also starts with a mindset of those DBs going and getting the ball.
People are probably like, why guys not talking about Deuce Spann? Which that's a good one, too. He should be out there pushing, too. So maybe even Darion, maybe we can see some sort of two-horse race of those guys opposite Johnny, because they certainly have
the
tools.
And look, man, I might be completely wrong. I've been wrong before. I just think Darion's got more to him. I think
he seems more polished. He seems a little bit more refined right now.
There's the toughness.
Yeah.
But, he's not slow, and he's very quick, and he's big, he's tough, And he's hard to cover, man. He's just been really hard to cover. So I hope this is he's in the midst of taking that step everybody wants him to take.
Knowles back at practice, 4 o'clock. Again, stay connected to warchant.com. We'll have the footage of the practice up as soon as I possibly humanly can up on our YouTube page, and we'll have interviews and everything afterwards as well. I'll be kicking full cylinders because I'll have Vitamin Energy flowing through the veins. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WARCHANT, B-O-G-O. That means BOGO, buy one, get one. Buy one, get one free, folks. So go to VitaminEnergy.com. Use that promo code WARCHANT, B-O-G-O, courtesy of our friends at Vitamin Energy that are Florida State alums that apparently listened to the show for a year or so. And they're like, wow, cool show. Can we advertise with you guys? Which we said, absolutely, because this stuff seems pretty cool. The Sport Plus is what's been on the menu for me here of late. The blue raspberry flavor, solid, solid. Endurance and power, it says on the packaging, Corey. I had both in the gym Monday. Full max upper body day, and then I go on the treadmill afterwards. It's crazy. It's amazing if I don't, for real, like I don't take it every day because I don't want to live such a good life. I don't deserve to live a totally, you know, right, great life. I need to have a little bit of struggle. When I take that stuff and I go in the gym, I can hit all my lifts, and I can still get on the treadmill and do cardio, and then I get home and I feel great, man. There's no crash because there's no sugar. It's non-GMO. It is kosher certified, and it's natural caffeine that gets you going. I'm sure it kept you going on the cruise ship all night long, like Lionel Richie.
Nope, like, you know, biggest fun mistake stuff, I made the, on the whole trip. No, I got what you're saying, but the biggest mistake I made was I forgot it.
Oh,
could have used it. Especially could have used it on Monday on the drive back. Had to get up at 8 to get off the boat. By the way, that is what a. I've never been on a cruise ship. I guess that's how they all are. Like getting off a cruise ship to go to your car, I believe it's the seventh circle of hell. Luckily, Stephanie took care of us and got us some free quick pass where we didn't have to stand in that line. But it was the length of the ship just to get to customs. It was nuts. But yeah, so had to get up at 8. Might have had you're on a cruise ship. Might have had a few too many Sunday. Got up early at 8 and then had to drive 4 hours back to Tallahassee. That last 30 minutes was rough. Daddy definitely missed his Vitamin Energy. I'm not going to make that mistake again, I can promise you.
He's here with us, though, doing the show, because that's what Corey Clark does. You should go to VitaminEnergy.com. Use the promo code WARCHANT, B-O-G-O. Let them know that you listen to the show and you appreciate it, and we appreciate you. Shake it and take it. VitaminEnergy.com. Again, promo code WARCHANT, B-O-G-O.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast, called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, March Madness. Week 2 approaching here, the second weekend. Florida State's ladies basketball team bowed out in the first round, Corey. Unfortunately, they were nowhere near full health. Taniya Latson, notably, was not available due to injury, as well as Mariah Gordon wasn't available either. So that was a bit of a bummer because they didn't get to have a showdown with not related Caitlin Clark in Iowa. But that took someone out of the sales, right? It felt like maybe they could creep around in that bracket and make some noise. But Latson is out for it and did tweet. It seems like a pretty encouraging message, like, I'll be back, which we're hoping would be back in Tallahassee because in this day and age, and listen, Florida State has profited maybe more so than any other athletic program in the entire nation. And I know it's really mainly the football team that's done it, but the football team has done it at such a high level, getting kids out of the transfer portal and leveraging NIL, that you couldn't be sad if you lost her, because on the net you're probably still on the profiting side of the same, but you certainly don't want to lose her. And I saw Ira tweet out or retweet Jamie Givens, who used to be an intern for him at the Osceola, who's now, at Belmont, coaching the women's basketball team. And he made some sort of comment.
Coach at Belmont,
made some sort of comment about, like, oh, best of luck to everybody that's out there in the tournament, except for those teams that have been actively recruiting young ladies on our roster all spring. I hope you guys lose by 100. If those teams are out there doing that to tonight, lads, I hope they lose by 100 as well. We don't want to lose her, Corey, right? That'd be terrible.
Yeah, well, look, man, I mean, would you be surprised, though? Come on. She is one of the, 10, 12 best players in the country. She's the best freshman in the country. That was more than anything, it was just a bummer. But when you read the tweet, I guess it was a little vague, but to me, it basically read, I'll be back, go Noles.
Yes.
Like it was, you could have been saying, I'll be back, like, it's an injury, I'll be back and better than ever. But I just felt the way it was worded was more like, yes, I'll be back from this injury and I'll be back wearing garnet and gold.
Yes.
That's how I read it. But again, yeah, you never know. And the teams that would be probably very interested in her services are still playing. So, and it's a long way until, fall enrollment. So we'll see. But I'm certainly hoping, crossing my fingers, that she is a Noel for the next 3 years.
Meanwhile, on the diamond, softball swept Syracuse. I think Kat Sandercock actually had her first career no-hitter over the weekend. They took down Syracuse. Yeah. A run ruled them 10-0. 10-0, 5-1, and then 8-0 on Sunday. They'll have Duke this coming weekend in Durham, 15th-ranked Duke. So this will be a good test for Lonnie and the ladies. They are 24-6 on the season. Meanwhile, across the way over at Hauser, things not nearly as rosy as they once were for Florida State. They are now 12-8 on the season. This is after a really, really rough week against UCF in Orlando in the midweek. They lost 14-3 and then 6-3. And they came back to Hauser and took it to them on Friday night, 19-8. At one point, they had 10 runs in an inning without recording a single out, Corey. It was glorious. I was there. They proceeded, though, to not finish the drill. They dropped 4-2 on Saturday night and then 8-2 in the rubber match Sunday. They've got Florida later tonight at Hauser, 7 o'clock. Come on out, everybody. They could certainly use you. They're the third-ranked team in the country. And then after that, they're going to go to Charlottesville and take on the number 8 team in the country, Virginia. Not going to panic. 12-8, not great. I kind of tongue-in-cheek, I'm like, I want to be in a super in year one, because the standard here for so long has obviously been we're going to at least get to a regional. It kind of has been the birthright of, 35% of the people that are listening to the show, Corey. I think I'm included in that percentage, like, as long as I've been alive and breathing air.
40 years of,
They've been in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, 40 years in a row, Corey, as you said, 40 years in a row. So 12-8 does not put you in a good position. They are in desperate need of arms. No one's coming to rescue them. I don't know, like, what the – I don't want to panic here, Corey, but how are you assessing Florida State's struggles and what could possibly happen? I mean, it's a long season. It's not even April yet. I'm not losing hope, but I am concerned. I don't know what the TSA level light would be. Like, I'm not at orange, but I'm definitely not at yellow. I'm concerned.
Yeah, man, with good reason. They can't pitch. They don't have a lot of depth, and when they go into a series and don't get to use their best guy, which is Wyatt Crowell, he didn't pitch at all this weekend, which is very, very concerning because he's your only ace. You can say it's going to be tough to make a regional. I think you might be looking at this year, Link's first year, like you looked at Norvell's first year. Like, not as bad, not as catastrophic. I mean, that was a COVID year, too, so it was a little different. But when you when you're going into midweek series and you're the team pitching against Central Florida that has less depth in the on the mound, that's a problem. You have less depth on the mound than Boston College. That's a problem, man. And they're a decent offense, Florida State. They're not good enough. especially with Cameron Smith not playing. They're not good enough to just outslug these teams. And I just, you know, they don't have anybody they can count on. Carson Montgomery ain't it as a starter. I think we know that now. We can keep trying them. They can keep trying them and throw them out there. I think he's your closer. The guy never makes it out of the third inning. So that's, you know, and then the defense is the defense. I know Nander made three errors on Sunday, and they were all costly, but he was also playing third base, which isn't his the natural position. And don't make a joke there. But I don't know what there is to hope for. Like, they're 12-8. They just went 1-4 on a week where they played Central Florida and Boston College. And now they've got four games with two top 10 teams in the country. They will be lucky not to be 12-12. And I'm not a sky is falling guy because I do think this is the right hire. I think this guy's a very good coach. You cannot judge him, what he's doing with this season, this team this year, because he just doesn't have arms. And he warned us about it back in January. And he was not wrong. They don't have enough arms to compete at a really high level, in my opinion. And they're also not good enough at the other stuff to overcome that. They're, like I said, decent hitting team, not special. And then, you know, they still don't pick up the ball. So these are all things that have to get fixed over time. You hope that they can go on a run. But, man, what do they got? A game at home against the number three team in the country, and all those dudes on Florida's team can hit. And who are you even going to pitch? Who's going to pitch? How many guys? And then, you know, this weekend in Virginia, it's a tall task. So 12-12 is certainly a possibility after this week. And I, you know, what do you do? How do you blame Link? What is he doing wrong? These are the arms he had. This is the hand he's been dealt. And when Wyatt Crowell doesn't pitch, you know, if Wyatt would have pitched on Saturday or Sunday, you might win the series, but he didn't. And then to make up for it, your offense, after Haslon just said, scored 10 runs in one inning without even getting an out, scores four runs over the next 18 innings and loses both games to Boston College, who does not have elite pitching. So it is what it is. It's baseball. It's a long season. There'll be ebbs and flows. But I just think after 20 games, we kind of see the deficiencies here. And when your biggest deficiency by far is pitching, that's a problem in college baseball. So hopefully they can figure something out. Maybe somebody steps up and takes control of a situation or a starting spot, maybe a Sunday starter. But, yeah, I think that there's going to be some reshuffling. I think Montgomery has to move to the pen, in my opinion, and then go from there. And hopefully that Wyatt Crowell comes back. Because if Wyatt Crowell is slow to come back or does not come back anytime soon, good luck.
Yeah, he might need to have the highest NIL. He probably has the highest NIL leverage of any you know, non-revenue generating sport athlete probably on the campus. I mean, he is that vital to them, Corey. And you mentioned it throughout the offseason as we got to this point in the year. You know, I guess the good news is Diamez Ross is you know, returned to the lineup in the DH role. Maybe that changes the complexion of your lineup when he gets fully healthy. Obviously, defensively, he's your center fielder. Maybe that gives you a little more flexibility in how you can shuffle things around. After Friday's contest, Link seemed very, very encouraged by Jackson Bollmeister's outing and says, you know, he's an elite arm and we've seen that, and it's only a matter of time before he becomes, you know, really, really reliable for them. So if you got Jackson Bollmeister, if you can get Wyatt Crowell back on track properly, and then I don't know if you have to start maybe thinking about, I mean, like, does Connor Whitaker become like a Sunday option for you? Because, you know, Jamie Arnold kind of really hasn't put it all together, and he's obviously a true freshman, so there's plenty of time on that. But yeah, absent somebody else stepping up, I do wonder what they end up trying to do with the Sunday role, because I mean, the midweek guy, you can Johnny Holstaff that, but you need somebody, you know, shoot, even, you know, Connor Grady was good enough on a Sunday. You need to find somebody at least at that level that can give you a fighting chance, or else this will be a really long year, and you certainly don't want to break that streak in your first year as a head coach. That's just
right.
That's not indicative of what he's going to be, but like, you more or less run the guy off previously that was connected to a very important piece of your history, and this is how you show up year one. That's not the best way to endear yourself to the fan base. But I think on the whole, though, Corey, no, most people do realize, and to your point, that what could he have done? They did go in the portal. They got Brennan Oxford, a pitcher out of Wake Forest. Maybe they could have done a little bit more in the transfer portal getting pitchers, and that's the only thing you can really criticize at this point. I don't even know how fair that would be.
Yeah, man, I just think he was, again, he got wherever he got. He got here in June, July, whenever that was. A lot of kids had already made their decisions, And yeah, there's no, I'm sure they tried. It was just a matter of not, the guys didn't show up or come in, and they, you know, the young guys aren't, clearly maybe aren't ready yet. So, you know, we'll see. Again, he built a really good program at Notre Dame in a short amount of time. You hope he can do the same thing at Florida State. And he had, you know, he had really tough pitchers. So I think that, I think it's, you know, again, you can't, it'd be like judging Norvell just on 2020. And I think what we should appreciate is that, unlike Willie Taggart, who made us all think like we were about to watch a top five team in the country in 2018, Link did prepare us for this. He's like, I've never been on a team with this,
razor
this
thin
type of depth.
He said razor thin in the, yeah, in the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, with this little depth, he's never, he's like, I've never been on a team at any level with this little of depth on the pitching staff. And he's, you know, he's at UNC Greensboro, he was at Mercer, he was at Auburn, he's East Carolina. He said this was the lowest. So that should have let us know, okay, this might be a little bit of a struggle. You just assume, well, it's Florida State. All these guys are throwing 92, 93. They should be able to mix and match and make it work. Well, the whole world throws 93 miles an hour now. So that is, that by itself isn't anything. And yeah, clearly they're struggling. They have, you know, even, I mean, I know they scored a bunch on Friday, but the pitching and defense weren't great then. They certainly weren't great on Sunday. They were horrible in the middle of the week, and now they get Florida tonight. But it really will be a cool atmosphere. Florida coming to Dowser is always neat. It's Link's first time coaching against them. Now, you're not going to have to see one of Florida's three guys that throw 98 that start for them on the weekend. But, you know, they're still going to be running arms out at you, and they're running bats out at you. But hopefully Florida State can figure it out, get them a nice win, and get go on the road and have a nice weekend. But, yeah, it'd be a big win for Link to somehow steal a game tonight at Hauser.
All my money is tied up at mybookie.ag. Use the promo code WARCHANT. You will get an instant cash deposit bonus to your account. And we all could use a bonus right now because all of our brackets probably look horrendous. I can't even go over the amount of heartache and sorrow I endured over the last 96 hours, Corey. But just so we all know, the way the Gonzaga game against TCU ended on Sunday, that almost affected me. We actually had put a last parlay in for the weekend in, and I gave it to my friends. I'm like, what do we think about this? And nobody answered. And, like, we hit the first two legs of the parlay. That was the third one. I literally text my buddies. I'm like, man, we would have won this one. And then the ball rolls over the timeline. Guy scoops it up, and Gonzaga up by six. And favored by 4.5 points, the three drops in. Gonzaga does not cover because they only won by 3 points. Absolute Mount Rushmore bad beat. Hopefully you folks didn't have that kind of luck. But you can always change it around. Sweet 16. We've seen two games now. We've got better data. Use that and the promo code WARCHANT over at mybookie.ag, where you can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Check it out, mybookie.ag. I think our friends at MyBookie, I think they're based in Antigua. Is that how you pronounce it? Antigua?
Antigua, okay. Maybe.
Yeah. Like, Corey's a world traveler now. He's been in the Caribbean. He knows everything now. How was it, Corey? First off, I guess we got it. We buried the lead. I'm a little bit jealous, Corey. The photo that Stephanie posted of you two, bro, I don't know if you were doing like upright rows before you took the photo or some pull-ups, but bro, you got some traps. The buys were popping. Dude, you're pretty well put together now, Corey. Well done, man.
I'm trying, buddy. And yeah, you know, obviously I did about 25 push-ups just right there on the deck in front of everyone right before we took the picture. No, that's just, hey, man, that's just how I look. It's natural now. And it is, you know, that was kind of the unveiling, you know, why else would there be shirtless pics of me on the internet? So the fact that we were on a beach on Sunday, she took a picture there, and that we were on the cruise on the deck before it even left port, my shirt was off. It's a new world, man. I would never take my shirt off in front of Stephanie. And now I'm taking it off in front of, you know, well, I did get that spray tan too. That's a whole other story. But it was fun. You know, I got it. I was light dusting, right? It didn't look like I was a spray.
No,
it didn't look like I had a spray tan, did it?
No. It was very subtle.
But yeah, man. Yeah, very subtle. That's what I wanted. It would have been crazy if I was just dark, like Ross from Fred. I just couldn't do that. But yeah, man, it was fun. Like I said, it was, the casino's nice. I hate blackjack. I hate it. I hate it with a passion. There's somehow they have organized those cards to just rip your heart out. It does not make sense. Dealer's showing six. I've got a 10. I'm going to double down. I get a 19. It's a great hand. Dealer flips over a 5 and a jack. He's got 21. Awesome. It happens every other hand. I don't understand it. I don't understand why that game hates me so much. But otherwise, man, it was a really good time. I got the story that Stephanie wanted me to tell was on the way back on Sunday. Yeah, so we had our hibachi dinner. We're out on, we want to go take a walk on the deck before maybe, you know, we have a couple more libations at the lounge. And as we're walking on the deck, we see our friends in the lounge. We go and wave to them. They wave back. We want to go to the closest door to walk inside. Now, we're going 20 knots, so it's windy out there. And the waves are pretty high, but Stephanie loves that stuff. So I'm like, all right, we'll be out here for a little while. We try to walk into the door, and there's a sign on the outside, a paper sign on the outside of the door, on the outside of the sliding door that we've used to get in and out 100 times that says, closed due to weather. So I'm like, well, and it won't open. And I'm like, well, that's odd. And there's a family next to us with this dolt of a man. He's like, oh, yeah, it's closed due to weather. So we got to go. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, yeah, it's closed due to weather. We're outside in the weather. Like, this sign should be on the other side of the door to people not to come out on the deck. The inside looks perfectly fine. So anyway, that doesn't open. We walk all the way down to the other end of the ship. It's fine. We're getting our steps in. We get there. It's closed too, and the maintenance man, security guard guy, is walking away. He had just like closed it. He had just, shut the door so they couldn't open. And he's putting his key up or whatever he's doing. He sees us, and we're like, "Hey, we kind of hold our palms up, like, will you let us in?" He goes, "It's closed due to weather." He says this to us, and we're like, "Do you want us to stay out here? Like, it's closed due to weather. Yeah, we know. So let us in." And so he kind of hems and haws and isn't really excited about it. And he opens it. And I just want to go. I want to get away. But Stephanie, like, sits there for 5 minutes with him. He's like, "What do you say it's closed due to weather? Nobody told us. We were allowed to walk outside 7 minutes ago. And now the doors are shut. And you're telling us what, to stay outside?" He's like, "Well, we had told everybody not to go outside." He's like, "Well, we didn't hear it. And was your option to just say, well, the deck's closed due to weather. Good luck out there. We'll bring you some sheets." Like, it just, the whole thing didn't make any sense. Stephanie wanted me to tell that story just because of it's not even audacity is the right word, just the lack of critical thinking. Why would you put closed due to weather, that sign, on the outside of the door when you're trying to keep people to walk from walking out on the deck? You should probably have it on the inside. But it's fine, man. We walked inside. I went to blackjack and lost another $200. So that made up for it.
Well, I lost all my money on 18-year-old kids not being able to, shoot
pick
the ball.
Pick up a basketball.
Yeah, it was. I'm going to do it again next year, though. I love it, man. It's, Thursday and Friday. Saturday and Sunday, I start feeling a little bit of fatigue. But Thursday and Friday, it is so fresh, and it's been missed for so long that I really enjoy it. On the way out,
one of the weird parts of the trip was because it was, I guess, international, they didn't have CBS channels. Hmm. So the only way I could watch the tournament was they would only have one game there's only one game being broadcast on the boat. Oh. And it was on ESPN2, which is weird, right? Like, I didn't know ESPN had rights to the basketball tournament, but they do internationally they do. So it was on ESPN2 and it was just one game. And it wouldn't even show the scores of the other, how CBS will show the scores of the other five games going on. It wouldn't show that. It would just show, it was like a regular ESPN2 channel. So the game was on ESPN2, but it was the True TV announcers. And then it would go from there to a dude in some studio somewhere saying, all right, with a hint of an accent, which is cool. It's obviously international, saying, now we're going to go to the Gonzaga TCU game. And it would take us there. And if a game got tight late, it would switch over. But it reminded me of being like 1993.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're like, well, I hope they switch to the end of this game, but they might just sit here for the next 5 minutes and watch them run out the clock. Like, so that was a little annoying, but it was fine. I could have streamed it if I wanted to, but Daddy didn't want to.
All right. I know we're not wake up tied, but, Ira's our editor-in-chief or managing editor, and he sent us a tweet that one of my other buddies in another group chat sent me the tweet. Could you imagine if... something happened with the football team and, the line, good kid, wrong place, wrong time was used to explain away something. And then meanwhile, Ham punishes a player on his team and explicitly says, there's no such thing as being at the wrong place at the wrong time. This happened in Tuscaloosa, which, as you know, they've potentially have the number one over, not the number one over, the number two overall pick possibly in the NBA draft, and Brandon Miller on their team. He was involved in a fatal shooting, apparently. I shouldn't say involved. I don't want to be accused of slander or libel or anything like that, but as part of an investigation, like he's a witness in it. He's not a suspect in any crime. He hasn't been charged with any crime either. His coach, who apologized for it later, Corey, had said at some point in a press conference, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Meanwhile, Nick Saban just suspended a kid on his team and said explicitly there's no such thing as being at the wrong place at the wrong time. Are we watching some unraveling here in the SEC, man? Like, Kirby in Athens is burning down a little bit, and now Nick's sniping at his basketball coach who's maybe on the precipice of winning a national title. What's up with that, Corey?
Are you thinking that maybe Alabama and Georgia are going to stop being good at football? I think, look, man, I think maybe Nate Oates probably rubs Nick Saban. The only thing I can think to come out like that and to make such a snide comment about your own, I guess, I don't know, peer, your own colleague. I mean, he works in the same athletic department with you. Is that he either does not like Nate Oates at all, or he's disgusted by what that basketball team has done this year. I don't know. He probably certainly doesn't like that they're number one or number two in the country and might win a national championship. But the way that whole thing was handled, you know, and it was an Alabama basketball player that was arrested. It wasn't just Brandon Miller. It was one of their teammates that got arrested for the whole thing. That literally gave the kid the gun that shot him. Like, he wanted the gun. So he's been arrested for murder. And then the other kid might have brought him a gun, maybe not knowingly, but brought him a gun. So, yeah, I think Nick Saban's, like, disgusted by that whole incident and made it a point. And also, he clearly does not have a great relationship with Nate Oates, right? Like, you would not say that if you had any ounce of respect professionally for that person that works at with you, right? You just wouldn't. There's so many other words you could say. He made a point of saying the phrase that Nate Oates was lambasted for, or lambasted, however you want to pronounce it, gang. We're tomato, tomato here. So that's my only thought, is that Nick Saban does not like him at all and has no business, has no problem letting Nate Oates and the rest of the world know he doesn't like him. And what is Nate Oates going to say? Nick Saban knows Nate Oates can say zero about it. What's he going to pick a fight with Saban? I can tell you who the Alabama fans are going to pick. If you know what I mean, like, he's got no leg to stand on, he's got no leverage. He'll just have to say, "Yeah, it was and he will be asked about it. I can't wait to hear what he says. But there's no way he's picking a fight with Saban, unless he knows he's going to the NBA next year or something like that. That was really, really bizarre. But you know, as we've all said, Nick Saban's one of the good guys.
And that is a wrap for Corey and I here on Wake Up War Chant. Again, a reminder: spring football practice resumes this afternoon. Before then, the Jeff Cameron Show, 1 to 3 o'clock, 93.3 FM, as well as live on YouTube, Warchant TV. That's our YouTube channel. And then at 10 o'clock in the morning over the Champions Club, we'll be there for the press conference to celebrate the Ireland kickoff game in 2024. So any kind of reaction, I really not going to be any other news break from it. It's just, hey, we're going to flex on everybody and brag that we're going to Dublin for a football game. So we'll have the coverage from that as well. That is a wrap for Wake Up War Chant. For Corey, I'm Azzle. Thank you for listening to Wake Up War Chant, presented by the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill.